This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to stay tuned to the St. Pete City Hall broadcast from RadioSt.Pete.com. The City Hall broadcast is a podcast designed to give you an informal look inside your city government. Here's your host, Will Kuntz.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the City Hall broadcast. My name is Will Kuntz, host of this here program heard on Radio St. Pete. With me, Chief of Staff Kevin Calvin King, and a Communications Director Benjamin Jerome Kirby.
So close.
I thought maybe Jerome's right.
Joseph.
Yeah,
and
that's
actually,
more normal.
Actually, you got Ben's initial right. You did Jerome instead of Joseph, and then you did Calvin instead of Charles.
Oh, I got them right, though.
You got the letters right.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Let's see if you can go 3 for 3.
Yeah. Thomas.
Thomas Bartavius Green is here this week.
How would they know Bartavius?
I nailed that one. I think there's a guy from the Patriots that's named Bartavius or something weird.
Pretty close, but it's A for Andrew.
Andrew.
Yes.
Thomas Andrew Green is here. He's the budget director. Before we get into that, what is going on in the city? What should the citizens know?
What's not going on in the city is what we like to
truth.
Say. You know, what we did the other day is we broke ground on the new police station.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. We did that on Thursday.
And how long is that supposed to take before it's built?
The first people should start, the first officers should start moving in at the end of 18. And
okay.
then the whole thing, fully functional, will be up and running in spring of 19.
Nice.
Yeah. So more progress in St. Petersburg.
Mayor's been talking to the partner governments about the ferry. As the ferry winds down April 30th, last day to get on board.
I just still haven't taken that thing yet, and it was my idea.
You've got like a week and a half.
I wanted to take it to the Lightning game not too long ago, and they stopped running it. Well, it was a weekday, so they stopped running at 7, so I could get there, but then I'd have to get back.
Like Uber back or something. Yeah. But there's good news out of it. We liked the numbers, a lot of good numbers, a little bit of money going back to the partner government, so the ferry's been a success.
You know, it's a shame that it wasn't around, though, when the raise were going on. I wonder if that would have increased some traffic.
A month of the raise.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess, technically it is still going, yeah.
So I was just thinking, have we done an episode of this show where we didn't talk about the ferry?
I don't think so.
I love talking about the ferry.
It's cool. It's a cool thing.
Right.
Right.
Next episode, we won't talk about the ferry because it'll be done.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. I'm going to bring it up just for old time's sake.
Yeah.
That's my plan.
Your idea.
Yeah.
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 So before we get to our guest, I just wanted to see if there's been any blowback yet from the Jeff Klein.
I have not heard from Jeff.
Good.
But did you decide to leave it in? I didn't get a chance.
Made it in.
Oh, I got to tell him about it.
If y'all want to hear a great local comedian, I'd recommend Jeff Klein.
Yes, Jeff's great, man. Yeah. He's always down at Coconuts on Tuesdays. So you can see him down there at that open mic.
Catch him at Coconuts. Yeah. And speaking of Coconuts,
our guest this week, I don't know why that's Coconuts,
why,
but
that
kind of caught me off guard.
I don't know.
I don't know. I just say it. Tom Green is here. He's the budget director for the city of St. Petersburg. Tom, welcome.
Well, thank you very much.
Get close to that mic, Tom.
I don't know.
It's nice to see everybody's. Everybody kind of has a different reaction when they come in here, that nobody knows what to expect. We try to keep it light, just a fun conversation. I feel like everybody's nervous when they walk in, and Tom, you're kind of no exception.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous.
It's daunting.
You should be.
Well, the question is, can we make the budget fun?
That's what we're going to find out.
That's the real challenge, because I don't think there is a way to make it fun, but, you know. I've tried. I mean, I've had council members laugh at me at certain points, which I didn't really think they should have laughed, but they did. But, yeah.
I think your job here today is going to be trying to explain how the budget works to somebody like me who doesn't know what a budget is. So you got to start from scratch, kind of. I mean, I know what a budget is. You have a set amount of money, and that's how you can spend your money.
Yeah, absolutely.
But after and that, I'm
really
lost.
At the basics of a budget are it's all about priorities. You know, we have limited resources as a city to invest in programs for our residents. And so really, we have to, on an annual basis, evaluate what we're doing, what we're doing well, what we're not doing so well, and, you know, fund the operations that our citizens want and need. And so really, a budget is building priorities with our limited resources. So that really is, in a nutshell, what our budget is all about.
So where does the, I mean, there's taxes, that's revenue, but are there other sources of income that makes up the budget?
Absolutely. And this is an interesting point. Well, I find this interesting, is people think of taxes, the traditional property taxes, as being the only source of revenue. In fact, in this year, we get about $103 million in property taxes. And just about, well, every dollar of that will be used to pay for the expenses of the police department. So our police department budget for this year is $105 million. So every dollar that we collect in property taxes pays for our police operations.
Wow.
And then some. So, yeah, we have other taxes that we get. Some of the biggies or larger resources would be the taxes that we get from Duke Energy. So when we pay our power bill, there's a portion of taxes that Duke collects and remits to the city of St. Petersburg. There's also what's called the franchise fee, and that's a fee that they pay to the city for the right to use our right-of-ways for their power lines and so forth. So that's probably, you know, close to $27, $28 million on an annual basis. So that's another large source. Then we get sales taxes that is collected by the state of Florida, remitted to Pinellas County and then to the city of St. Petersburg. And those can range, you know, the half-cent sales tax, I think this year is about $16.5 million. And then we get some other sales taxes. We get fuel taxes, about $3.5 million or $3 million, somewhere in that neighborhood. So all these different resources are coming into the city to fund our what we call our general fund. And as I mentioned to you before we got started, cities and counties and local governments use what's called fund accounting. And it's a very it's a little bit complicated, but to distill it down to, you know, your personal life, you know, you've got a checking account, you've got a savings account, you may have, you know, investments that you with a brokerage firm, or you may have investments for your children to go to college. All of those are set up in different funds and can only be used for those purposes. So I couldn't use money in my children's college fund to make my mortgage payment or to pay on my
speak
my
for yourself, Tom.
Well, if you're doing that, it's not only unwise, it may be illegal. But so for the city, we have, you know, I'm pounding on the budget book, we've got numerous funds that we track the expenses of providing that service, and the revenues that are generated from providing that service kind of stay in there to pay for those expenses.
When you're saying funds, do you mean, like, is this something like mutual funds or something different?
It's different, but it's an operating fund. So, for example, our Water Resources Department, if you are a resident of St. Petersburg and you use our, you know, our potable water and our sewer system, you get a bill with on a monthly basis. So when you pay that bill, those monies come into the city, but they are tracked in the Water Resources Department to pay the men and women who are providing that service and to buy water from Tampa Bay Water and various and sundry other expenses that are associated with providing that service.
Okay.
Does that make sense a little bit?
I mean,
so we try to track the expenses and the revenues generated from that service so that it pays for itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then is there hopefully some left over at the end that you can kind of stash away for a rainy day, or do you use it all at once?
Yes, a little bit of both. I mean, there are, you know, each fund will have what's called a fund balance, and that's basically their excess cash flows, what they collect on an annual basis versus what they spend. With water resources in particular, that's a very capital-intensive operation, meaning we've got to spend money on an annual basis to fix water pipes or to, you know, increase capacity. So they are constantly funding a portion of that capital through their operations, as well as, you know, borrowing money when we need to. So yes, we do provide for the operations and then some of the, you know, fund balance, or we do have some savings accounts, so to speak, that would, like our economic stability fund or our water cost stabilization fund. So we've got both operating accounts that could have kind of extra money in that fund balance, or we have true kind of reserves like an economic stability fund or a water cost stabilization fund.
What happens, let's say, if you have your budget and this one department goes over budget and you have to pull money out? Do you pull it out from another part, another department?
You ask a very good question. Now, the answer may be a little bit more complicated, or I'll try to make it as simple. Our level of budgetary control is at the administration level. So let's take a simple one, public safety. Let's not take public safety because that's two departments that are, you know, independent of each other, even though. Let's take general government, which includes like budget and finance and city council and the mayor's office, right, and kind of the core services of our government. So we appropriate, and I'm just going to make up a number. Let's say we appropriate $50 million for all of those departments within that administration. Now, if my department is over budget by a dollar and city council is under budget by a dollar, those kind of net. So as long as at the administration level that $50 million stays the same, we're okay.
What happens if it doesn't?
If it doesn't, then we would use some of our unappropriated fund balance in the general fund to cover any excess expenses in a fiscal year.
Well, there's one other option you didn't mention. Every now and then you'll see Tom shaking out that little cup in his car.
That's right.
Where you put the change, and that's a third way that we can also.
That's absolutely right.
Just a Jolly Rancher in there. Yeah.
Some pocket lint.
Yeah, and that's a few extra bucks.
Sure.
And then if the mayor's not happy, Tom digs into the couch at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten some bucks that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I've got in my bottom drawer in my office, I've got a big stash of pennies.
Yeah.
So, you know, that can come in handy sometimes.
That's right. Anywhere we can get it, basically.
Couple of reasons we wanted to have Tom on the show. A couple reasons. One is we were talking the other day about starting the budget process for next fiscal year, which starts in October. And I'm just fascinated that, you know, it takes Tom basically, 6 months to a year to start to build that budget for next year.
As soon as he stops and breathes and takes a day.
Exactly.
It starts again, it feels like, doesn't it?
He passed that budget on
totally
October
does.
1, yeah. And then he's already talking about the next year.
Yeah.
So, like, he celebrates his new year, October 1, and then he's ready to think about next year. And I think that's fascinating. I just think there's a lot of work that goes into it. Maybe he can talk a little bit about some of those high points.
Yeah, why is October 1st the day?
It's Florida statute. We've run on a fiscal year, not a calendar year. So our fiscal year begins October 1 and then ends September 30. So I'll start at the end. When we adopt a budget, we adopt it in September. And we have two public hearings that have to happen with City Council. That has to be done before October 1, obviously, because that's the start of our fiscal year. So during this time, as Ben just mentioned, in early December, we start working on the following year's budget. So in December of 2016, we started working on the FY18 budget. So at the same time, we've just closed out FY16, we've adopted FY17's budget. In December of 16, we start working on FY18's budget. So now, fast forward to now, where we're in, April? We're well on our way to developing the FY18 budget that has to be approved by council in September. And it is a long, arduous process, and I know that other directors and departments citywide despise me at various times during the year.
Everybody loves you, Tom.
and it is a process that's set by the calendar and by state statute, and there are certain milestones we have to hit. Next week, we're going to visit with our city council and show them a preliminary look at what our capital improvement budget looks like for FY18. We do that meeting on Thursday the 27th. So, yeah, it's a week from tomorrow. And then in May, we'll meet with City Council and kind of give them a snapshot of where we are in the development of the operating budget for FY18. Then once we finish those workshop meetings or committee of the whole meetings, we then, under Florida statute, the mayor is required to submit a balanced budget by July 15th to City Council. So that'll be the next big milestone, is that we'll have to have the operating budgets put together of all the departments citywide, and then our capital improvement plan, and then that gets communicated to council in July on the 15th. Then sometime, I think, around the 20th of July, we ask council to set a tentative millage rate, and that's basically what our residents will pay in property taxes in the next year.
Does that get decided every year? It changes?
It can change, yes. It's been fairly consistent. We had a slight reduction last year in the millage rate.
Are you saying that the mayor, Rick Kreisman, lowered taxes? Is that what you're saying? He lowered the millage rate?
This is always a dicey one. Yeah,
it's a yes or no answer.
The millage rate went down.
Okay. That's, yes.
What is that?
The millage rate.
I don't know what that means.
Boy, this is a really complicated one, but no, it's not that complicated. So that's basically how we calculate our property taxes. Millage rate is a rate based on $1,000 of taxable assessed value of property. So for every our millage rate is 6.755. So for every $1,000 of or $100,000 of taxable value, you're going to pay $675 to the city.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Who comes up with that number? Is it a calculation of some sort?
It is a calculation, yes, based on our aggregate property value citywide. Let me take a step back. There are the state legislature has certain maximum millage rates that cities and counties can use. I think we can go up to a maximum of 10 mils. So we're at 6.755. Then there's also this arcane calculation we have to go through that is the calculation of what's called the rolled back rate. And that's essentially when you look at an FY18, we will have to look back to last year's millage rate and see how much ad valorem property taxes were collected, and I mentioned earlier, it was about $103 million. So in FY18, we'll have to calculate what that rolled back rate would be. And that would say, okay, now our properties within the city have appreciated in value, but given that, what would the millage rate be to generate that exact same amount of ad valorem taxes for the city? And $103 million. So theoretically, that 6.755 under the rolled back scenario would be less in FY18. And I see you guys all looking at me like, you know.
I just wonder if, I mean, stuff like this, if it doesn't need to be this complicated, do you think? Would there be an easier way to do this stuff? Or does it have to be this way? Because I feel like, you know, for ordinary people, there's no way they could understand this stuff.
It is very complicated. And is there an easier way? Potentially. I don't know that I'm smart enough to figure that out.
But that's a bad sign.
To figure out the simple calculation, maybe I'm not doing a very good job of explaining it, because it's not.
Well, no, I don't think that's not what I'm
talking about. Tom, it's not you, it's okay. Us.
Yeah, no, it's definitely me, yeah. No, no doubt.
The real answer is, so you got to think about it in terms of everybody's home has different values, right? So that's your starting point. Everybody, my home is worth less than Kevin's. I'm pretty sure that's true. And both our homes
Kevin's
are worth less than Tom's home, which is probably also true.
Yeah.
But the point being, so the way you figure those taxes is different. And then the legislature has passed laws over time governing how much you pay in those taxes, right, and how much is exempted from taxes.
I guess
it gets complicated real fast.
Sure. No, and I think it's like that with government in general sometimes,
sure,
is that these things, you know, a lot of politicians are lawyers, and then they'll, you know, speak in their lawyer speak. And I think that's a, you know, not to get off topic too much, but that's a problem that ordinary people can't understand government. And I feel like that's why a lot of people they don't trust the government, mm-hmm, you know, at a local or national level or anything.
And I'm hoping we can talk about this too, because I think one of the things, A, that Tom does really well, aside from shepherd all this complicated stuff over and over again, is you kicked off OpenGov, right? I mean, that's on your watch, which is nothing but presenting all this complicated stuff to the public, right? You can go on there right now if you want to look at Parks and Rec's budget and click it, and it's right there.
Yeah, we wish more people would get on OpenGov. I mean, it doesn't tell you everything, but it's a sort of good crash course and kind of how the city looks, the budget looks, I think.
Yeah, and OpenGov is it is a tool that citizens can use to look at our budgets and actual expenditures. So that is updated each quarter when we have so we've just completed the second quarter of FY17. So that data will be updated in the next couple of weeks to show where our actual expenditures are happening. It is a tool that, yeah, like Kevin said, we wish more people would take advantage of. This is a true collaboration between, you know, not only my operation and budget, but also our colleagues in the finance department. But it is, you know, available to citizens.
Do we have a URL for OpenGov?
Yikes.
I think it's a pretty long one. It's stpete.org/city_initiatives. I'll tell you what you do, though. A handy trick for anybody up there. You go to Google, you put OpenGov as one word and St. Pete, yeah, and I guarantee it's going
to
pop up.
And or if you just go to our website and go to either the budget department link or to the finance department, there's a link from both of our pages to the OpenGov platform. And then it's sortable. You go in there and you can click around and you can make nice pie charts, graphs and so forth to see, you know, where your tax dollars are going.
So, Will, how do you feel smarter than when this show started?
Jeez. No, I feel a little dumber. Because most of this stuff's going over my head. But
but you know, a little bit of what to your point, I think, is just familiarity. Like, you know, Tom is not a genius. He's close.
I'm definitely not.
You're close to a genius, but Ben and I are just, you know us, we're a couple of dopes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that very well.
And what happens is, you know, day by day, you get the more exposure you have, it kind of starts to make sense a little bit. And we would just encourage people, and it is playing around on OpenGov, it is coming to a budget forum, it is sort of, you know, just being engaged, it starts to make a little more sense as it goes on.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am a total geek wonk when it comes to this because I live it. I live it every day, and I have for the last 4.5 years.
Right.
And so I am immersed in this, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day. So it's second nature to me. But I will tell you, the first day I walked into this job, I didn't have the foggiest idea about some of the things that were happening. And I mean, I did, but it was like of how our budget operated, I should say. And now I you know, but like I said, I've spent 8 to 10 hours a day for the last 4.5 years immersed in nothing but our budget. You know, I'm not a policy person. A dollar spent in Parks and Rec to me is a dollar spent in the police department. So my job is to kind of balance all that and make sure that we do have the resources available to address the mayor's priorities on an annual basis. And so it's challenging. But I will say, to Kevin's point, it's interesting to see, you know, as new council members come on, you see over a year, you know, in their second year, they start to get, you know, oh, okay, now these pieces are all making sense. And citizens, too. Absolutely the case.
One of the other reasons we wanted Tom to come in here, maybe Tom can speak to this, maybe Kevin, too. But so the big pieces of a budget, at least from our point of view, up there in the administration offices, The last three budgets, correct me, stop me when I get any of this wrong, Tom. The last three budgets, we've managed to fund the mayor's priorities, have balanced budgets, and put money aside in savings in that fund balance we're talking
close,
about.
Close,
right?
Pretty much.
And that's, you know, that's three big, we're you really sort of cover all the bases there when you do that.
We're taking
right?
care of priorities. We're putting money away. I think the mayor's first year or two we finished in the black, came a little close last year. And this year will be another challenge, but Tom and team will try to get there.
Absolutely. I think, and at the risk of getting into the wonk speak again, but, you know, there are funny things that happen. At the end of FY15, we got some monies from the BP settlement. And those dollars ended up, you know, we didn't expend those on priorities, but we've been expending those on priorities over the last two fiscal years. So what ends up happening is because those monies were recognized as cash or revenue coming in during FY15, every time we spend that, it makes our budget look out of balance because it wasn't there's not current year revenues to cover those expenses. So that's kind of the way, you know, so as Kevin and Ben articulated a minute ago, FY14 and 15, we ended in the black. We had good return to our reserves. We made contributions of $2 million to our economic stability fund in 14, 15, 16, and we plan that again in 17 and 18. But because of some of those BP expenditures, last year's budget it looks wacky. But so we didn't, you know, finish in the black on last year in 16, but it was mostly attributable to those expenses in the BP funds.
Can the city have debt? Can it take credit? And where does it take it from?
Oh, yeah. We have bonds that we issue. So cities and counties issue bonds or notes either in the public market or to banks. So we have various loans and bonds that are outstanding. Our biggest and this is a little bit outside of my bailiwick, but we do have bonds for our water resources department. I mentioned earlier that's a very capital-intensive business that we provide or service that we provide. So we have bonds that we issue periodically to fund capital improvements to the system. We also have, like our marina downtown here, issued a bank note this year about $2.5 million to do some work to repair and master plan that facility. So yeah, we do we use debt very judiciously to fund long-term capital projects, and that's the, you know, the smart way to do it. It's just like buying a home. You know, you take out a 30-year mortgage because you know you're going to live there, and you know you amortize it over 30 years. We do the same thing with big investments that are going to benefit citizens over a long period of time. In the nomenclature and budgeting and finance for cities and counties, we call it providing generational equity. You know, so my kids who are going to live here in St. Petersburg, you know, they will be using the same water system that we're currently using. So it makes sense to spread that expense over 30 years so that the people that are benefiting from it are helping pay the cost of those improvements.
Sure, right on. What's your favorite thing about the job that you have now?
Man, favorite thing. I think my favorite thing is, you know, it's putting together a big puzzle every year, you know, and it's trying to balance all the competing priorities and making sure that, you know, the top priorities are funded and, you know, and making sure that we address the needs of our citizens. And like I said, putting together the puzzle on an annual basis is a fun challenge. And, you know, working with Mayor Kreisman and team is very cool.
Right on, Tom.
Tom's cool.
He is, and thank you for doing your best to explain it to me. We appreciate you coming in, definitely.
I told Kevin and Ben that, you know, they didn't want me on here. I get too wonky, but...
No, you did fine.
He's not really too wonky. In fact, he sometimes is kind of just crazy guy. Like, we'll be talking budget in a meeting, and he says, it ain't nothing but a number. And we're like, Tom, you're the budget director. You can't say that.
There are some X's and Y's.
Believe me,
in there.
That never came out of my mouth.
he says, it ain't nothing but a number. And we're like, this guy needs to be more specific.
He's talking about a birthday or something?
I don't know. He's a wacky guy. We're very lucky. We have a good budget director. He didn't talk a lot about his team, but he's got the best people you could imagine doing his budget with him, right?
Now you just made me look bad. Of course I
love
a great team.
Jimmy,
yes.
Jimmy Chisholm we talk about.
Yeah. Denise LeBrie.
Who else can we give
shout-outs
to?
Oh, Devris Fuller.
Yep.
Stacy McKee.
We love Stacy.
Yes, absolutely. And Lance.
And Lance, who we don't know. Oh. But he's great. He's a great guy.
Shout-out
to Lance. Lance is new. He's, what, four or five months now we got Lance?
Yeah, Lance joins us in September.
Yeah.
Oh, and then we have a couple other. I mean, Lynn Goodwin, who is...
Lynn is awesome.
Lynn is awesome. She is our executive assistant who makes all my presentations and documents look good. And Shrimity.
Shrimity. These are all good, hardworking people doing all the dirty work, right, and making the city shine.
Yeah, it's from doing this with you guys, this program, I'm really learning how... much goes into you don't think. I mean, I never thought about it, but just the day to day, how much work goes into keeping civilization going.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Running
my
civilization,
God. It certainly is, and we've only scratched the surface. I'm sure.
Well, let's talk about Will's budget now. We talked about the city budget.
Actually,
let's talk about Will's.
Did you bring
budget.
In your checkbook?
No, I actually had to withdraw some funds today because I'm going on a cruise tomorrow. Nice. I'll actually be back by the time this airs, but I've been saving. For a little while, and I just took it. I took it all out in cash because I'm going to just waste it in the casino. But keep your fingers crossed for me.
This was
here,
the
guys.
Perfect show. I wish everybody could see Tom's face right now. This is the perfect show for you.
So I have this theory, and we got to get out of here. But and you guys are going to think
I didn't think the budget show would be the longest show we've ever done.
I know, right? I have this theory, and I want to hear what you guys think. I'm not doing this because I don't have this, but if you take $1,000 and put it in a $100 a pull slot machine, you're going to walk away with $300 at least, meaning $1,300. Because, and here's why, because on slot machines, they'll always throw you a bone to keep you playing a little bit. Now, keep in mind, if you get a little something, they'll kick you a few hundred, and then once you get over the original amount, like, I would walk away with $300, no problem.
Yeah,
then that's this it.
If that
out.
Were the case, then Tom would take our budget,
yeah.
Go to the slot machine, and walk away.
Do
with
it with a grand. Let me find some petty cash.
Can I give you some good casino advice?
Please.
You get on the cruise ship, go right to the casino. You got $1,000, right? Put it all on black.
Oh, no, I can't do that.
That way, if you win, you have $2,000
to spend.
Yeah, but
if you lose, you're immediately
just
done.
Listen, just put it on black, I'm telling
Please
you.
Please do what Kevin says. If you
put it on black.
If
you're the man we think you are, you'll walk in and put it on black.
I'm going to fall off the boat. That's what's going to happen. All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
we'll
Will.
See you in 2 weeks. Make sure you listen to the Homemade Broadcast Sunday 6:15 on Radio St. Pete. Check out iLoveTheBurg.com. I got a little feature on there now. So check that out. Yeah. And what else? I think that's it. CityHallBroadcast.net. You can catch up with all these old episodes.
Will is blowing up.
He's everywhere.
Man, everywhere. Hey, everywhere. Just weaseling in wherever I can, I tell you. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Right. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Radio St. Pete's City Hall Broadcast, an informal look inside your city government. This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to join us next time for the City Hall Broadcast.